I thought you would enjoy seeing this particular. Yes, I am. That's for sure. Oh, no. I'm out doing gym, right? When it comes to being a holy roller, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that I just want to say yes the way Austin was asking. We want to be a people who say yes to you all the time. We know that life with you is not boring. Life with you is an adventure. If we would only say yes, it's only when we put those limitations on you that it gets boring, that we put you in a box. Lord, you don't put us in a box. You look at us and you see our potential and you're saying, I'm calling this out of you. Right? There are deep things in a man's heart, but it says a wise man draws them out. You, God, are that wise man who draws them out of every single person. So we bless your name this morning. That we would have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that would believe what your word says. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's been a while since I've had a chance to be at the pulpit, so I'm really looking forward to today. This is the first message for me this year. And the message title that we have is, How Do We Grow in God? Now, you're probably wondering as to why I was coming up on this device. I wasn't just to get your attention, but it was because this weekend we had a seminar called the Healthy Church Seminar, because we wanted to know what it would mean to be a healthy church. And so how I define it, one of the things I would say is that every part of the body functions properly. Now, if you see me coming in on this device, and I have a broken leg, because we have Shelly who has a broken leg, right? And so what happens when you have a broken leg? It hurts, okay? But when it comes to functionality, what happens? It slows you down, dances out. Well, you say, hey, you never know what I can do. What else? It disables you, right? Things take more time, right? What you normally do for yourself now requires someone else helping you. You notice that I came on this. Did I have my books with me? Did I have my clicker with me? Did I have my notes? No. Kevin had to help me. I said, Kevin, you're going to have to bring this up because I can't ride that because you know what? Something's going to happen. Either I'm going to drop that or I'm going to drop me. Right? One of the two is going to happen. So that's part of, if every part is functioning, then I'm healthy. But if one part, just one, right, Shelly? Just one, just undid all kinds of stuff, didn't it? All right. So what I would like to say to you is that we begin to ask the question, what does functioning properly work? She can function, but she's not functioning properly, right? And so, and the other question that we asked was, what did you get from the seminar this weekend? And I've asked Carol Bell, who's here to share for a minute, just one glimpse of what it took to try to put together what happened in my mind, what happened in my heart. Go ahead and share that, Carol.
I was asked from the leader, Carol, what I was getting out of it, and I was feeling overwhelmed, so I said nothing at that time, but then later on, I got the word hope, and that's what I got, was there was hope for the church. Mm-hmm.
And see, hope is where it has to start, right? It has to start with hope. You may not have details, you may not have direction, but if you have hope, then you're moving forward, right? Because when you don't have any hope, it doesn't matter how many details you have, you don't have any hope. You're going to be moving backwards, you're not forward. All right. so. If I were to ask you, what does it mean to function properly? What does it look like? Any idea? In a body. We already talked about her body, but what about a church body? Every person doing what they're called to do. Anything else? Every person thriving, right? So that means that you could be functioning, but you got to know which is your gifting, right? Because if you don't know, and if you're functioning, so how would I determine whether I'm functioning in my gift or outside of my gift? Is it life-giving, right? In other words, is there joy? Is there joy? And if I'm functioning outside of my gifting, what happens is, more than likely, I'm frustrated. So, now, part of the answer to this thing is that we need to look at two key scriptures that deal with what the Lord commanded us to do. Hopefully you can read that scripture there. And the essence of this scripture is the fact that we are to learn to love God and to learn to love others. We love God and we love others because that has to be the motivation behind us functioning properly in a church and outside of a church. What I really like about this verse is that the Passion Translation says, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart and with all the energy of your being and with every thought that is within you. And that's part of the answer to functioning properly. The other one is from Matthew 28. And that's the fact that after those two factors are in play, that I'm loving God and I'm learning to love others, he's asking me to do something with that love. And that is, I'm going to go and make disciples. Now, is it the job of just the pastor and the elders to make disciples? No. Now, do you all feel like you can go out there and make disciples? Some of you might raise your hand, right? And some of you say, that's a little scary. Well, then you have to say, help me. Train me. Build me up. Show me how to do it. Let me watch you do it, and then I'll do it. Right? It has to start somewhere. So if you feel like there's a gap between what you're supposed to do and what you can do, then you ask for help. Right? And so when it boils down to this, the two scriptures I mentioned to you regarding loving God and loving others, the way the seminar worked out this weekend was this. There were four key factors they mentioned. First of all, I need to be filled with God's love. And that means I purposely have to work at growing in God. Then after that, I need to begin serving others. That's how I love them, right? By serving them. And I also love them by building them up. I build them. I add value to them. I give them a skill that they didn't have beforehand. And I also reach out to them. Right? So, you can sum it up that way. Love God and love others. Bottom line is this. If I'm going to be a healthy member of this church, if you are going to be a healthy member of this church, you have to learn to function properly. And you have to walk in those four areas that I just mentioned. Okay? I have to learn what it means to personally grow in God. Does that mean that you have to get fed by only coming on Sunday morning? No. How else can you get fed? How else can you grow in God? Read the Word. Okay. Now, does it just mean reading the words on the screen? No. That means you have to own your own Bible, right? You have to actually crack it open, dust it off, right? Get out a highlighter or a marker or a pen. Or I like to take the verses and put them on a different piece of paper, right? So today, though, I don't want to focus on all four of these. I only want to focus on the first one, Grow in God, right? So did you know that each of us needs to grow to spiritual maturity? Now, when you look around the church, do you think that you see that actual growth? Or do you feel like it's like one of those bamboo trees that takes 6 years before it moves an inch? And you say, that person hasn't moved an inch. I haven't moved an inch, right? There has to be evidence of that growth, right? And that's the response that we're supposed to give, right? Because if Jesus came and died for you, did he wait for you to say yes first, or did he die first? He died first, right? In hopes that you would respond to that message of salvation, right? And so it means learning to say yes to him on a daily basis. And you, what do you need to do on a daily basis? You need to learn to talk with him, right? You need to understand his instruction either through prayer or through his word, right? You need to practice worshiping. How many of you really enjoyed the worship experience today? I know I do. But you know what? It even goes more deeply when we do it at home. You know, I don't know about you. Where do you like to worship outside of Sunday morning? Where is that place for you? Is it in your car? Right? Where else? Home, privately? Where else? Your office? If I asked Phil, what do you think he'd say? On his bike, right? See, he can sing and then no one else can hear him. So he's right, he can pray, you know. You know what I would do? I'm not doing it now because it's cold out, but when I mow the lawn, I can sing to the top of my lungs and no one can hear me. Right? Yeah. So they can't tell that I'm out of tune. Right? And so, yeah, that's just the way it is. Could be that's why they're inside, right? Let's run inside. Fernando's starting to sing again. All right. So the whole issue is that my relationship in growing maturity is going to be if I surrender myself, if I worship, if I depend on him, if I learn to obey what I hear him telling me on a daily basis. See, we're not called to remain spiritual babies for the rest of our lives, right? And that means that each of us is responsible for our personal growth. I have no idea why that was on slide. Here's what it says. It says that in the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure milk, spiritual milk of God's word. For this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life, and especially now that you have had a taste of the goodness of the Yahweh and have experienced his kindness. How often does a baby need to be fed? Every 4 hours, every 2 hours? Yeah? And when a baby craves the milk, how does he sound? Desperate. What else happens? He cries. Is that a pleasant sound? You all have a younger sibling. Is that a very pleasant sound to hear that sound? No. Do you want to hurry up and do something about it so that it stops? Yes. Especially if it happens in the middle of the night, right? You want to stop it, right? So how do you all pursue the word of God? Do you crave it with intensity? the way a baby does? That's what we're told to be doing. Are we craving the Word of God with intensity? How do you crave the Word of God? What does it look like in your life? I tell you, I have to wake up and I have to dive in to the Word. I've got my journal, I've got my Bible, and whatever other resources I have next to me. So, how many of you, be honest, skip regular feedings from the Word of God? Nobody wants, am I the only one? Really? Come on. And now when you skip your regular feedings, do you feel malnourished? Right? Right. So, now, when it comes to physical food, you all eat at least once a day, right? And sometimes, you know, some people eat 3 to 6 meals a day, depending on what size they are, right? What happens if you wait to eat your meals just once a week? What's going to happen? You'll be malnourished. What else? No, you won't be following Christ. Mm-hmm. Anything else? You can't function, right? What happens? Can you think straight when you're not, when you haven't eaten? Can you stand up for very long when you haven't eaten? You might faint. What if you're diabetic and you haven't eaten? What happens then? It's life-threatening, right? You pass out, go in coma, all kinds of things can go wrong. So, who knows? What if you don't realize you might be diabetic spiritually? Right? All right, so the thing is, do you want to feel strong? There's an easy answer to that. How do you feel strong? We eat on a regular basis, right? Come hungry, come thirsty. Eat often, eat regularly. All right, next slide. But continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord, Savior, and Jesus. So the issue is, are you growing in intimacy? Right? We are to continually grow in Him. If you're not growing, what are you doing? Stagnating. Now, a tree can go dormant, but if you're not growing, what's the opposite? You're dying. Right? Eric and I talked about this on Friday night. Old and bitter, right? If you're growing, if you're a tree and you're growing, what color do you normally see? Green. What happens if you're not growing, you're dying? What color are you? Brown, right? That's not good, is it? You know, so there's really no in between. Jesus said, He is the vine, we are the branches. He said that we solely need to depend upon Him. He also said that we can't do anything without Him. So if we're not meeting with Him on a regular basis, we're not accomplishing a whole lot of it. And Jesus Himself said, I only do what I see the Father doing, right? What I hear Him saying. And even at an early age, now, most of us here are already adults. But can you say with confidence what Jesus was saying at age 12? I'm here about my Father's business. He talked to his mom and dad. He says, don't you know I'm about my Father's business? He did probably say it with that attitude. But, you know, I'm about my Father's business. Each of us are supposed to be about our Father's business. So my question to you is, how does God want you to be a part about the Father's business? Because how it looks for Bonnie is going to look different for Walt. It's going to look different for Connie. It's going to look different for Eric, right? It's going to look different. But yet there's going to be some form of similarity. Now, I was looking at a book. I've been going through this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And accompanying that book is called The Day by Day. It's a 40-day journal that I'm going through, helping me to slow down and pursue the Lord, right? And to hear the Lord. And I love the fact that the subtitle for this particular book says, it's impossible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. They're connected. They're connected. And so what they're saying, you see the image that's on this book? It's an iceberg. Now, when you see an iceberg, there you're seeing both parts, you're seeing the whole thing, right? Now, if you're in a boat, how much of the iceberg do you see? The top part of it, right? Now, what they say in this book is 10%. The other 90 is below the water. We only see the top percent of our spirituality. There's 90% below that God wants to deal with, but do we allow him to? And so this one guy who had gone through this book responded this way. He says, you know, I've been a Christian for 22 years, but it doesn't mean I'm a 22-year-old Christian. He says, I see myself as a one-year-old Christian 22 times. I see myself as a Christian of 1 year 22 times. What do you think he means by that? He says, I kept doing the same things over and over again. In other words, there was no progress, no growth, just repeating the same mistakes of immaturity. When you hear that statement, what does that mean to you? Any idea? What does that mean to you when you hear that? Can you relate to that? I know I can in certain ways. There are certain areas of my life that I've not chosen to grow in. And God wants us to grow in all the areas. So, let's keep in mind, I'm not talking about completing a program. I'm not talking about checking off a box. I'm not even talking about winning the t-shirt, you know? Said, I did it, you know? But we need to make a shift in how we see our world and how we see our lives. There's a direction that we need change in, a new direction that says, this is going to be my new lifestyle based on the lifestyle of Jesus, where he walked the earth for 3 years. When he walked the earth, he said, follow me. Now, does that mean just, you know, follow him around the corner? What does that mean? Follow me. Follow his example, right? So that my life should reflect his life. Right? They need to reflect each other. And the issue is, I'm becoming a disciple, so I look like him. Now, in becoming that disciple, do you want to be led by the Lord by allowing him to speak gently behind your ear and telling you, do I turn this way? Do I turn that way? Right? Let's see if I have that up there. Right? Do you allow the Lord to guide you this way, where he's just speaking and you hear his voice, and then you know where to walk? Or are you the type of person that you feel like you have to be led by bit and bridle? You understand what I mean by that? A horse has something in his mouth, right? Like that. And the person on the horse pulls left or right or just pulls back. And do you think that's a very comfortable feeling to be led that way? Would it hurt when you got something in your mouth and somebody just jerks you right back? You think maybe something would happen inside your mouth? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be led that way. The other way it mentions here says, I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. That's the way I want to be. In other words, am I allowing myself to be led by his love, or I'm being forced to obey him? So, if we're going to grow in God, it says here, let us grow up in all things in following his example, right? So if I'm going to grow in God, what am I going to do? I need to ask myself a few questions. And I want to ask these questions of you, and please give me some response to this. So here are some of the questions. Do I desire more of God? And if so, what indicates that? How do you know that you're desiring more of God? You give your tithe, so you give something that's valuable to you. Okay, what else? It's a choice. Uh-huh. Okay, so we know it's a choice, but what indicates that you're actually desiring more of Him? Okay. Right? You give of your time. You give of your tithe. What else? Any ideas? Huh? Presence of fruit or not, right? So either you have fruit or you don't. Mm-hmm. Spending time, right? You make time, right? You carve out part of your schedule. Whether at the beginning of the day or at the end of the evening, but you say, hey, that's my first priority. The Lord has challenged me. I know I spend time with the Lord, but what he challenges me is are you making it the very first thing you do? Like the one question was, okay, what app do you open first when you open up your phone? What app do you, come on, be honest. Sometimes Facebook, right? Sometimes Instagram. Is your Bible the first thing you open? Is it the weather? Is it your email? I tell you, Judy and I had a challenge during the month of December. That part of that challenge was no social media the first 2 hours of the day. That is hard. That is hard, right? Okay, there's an indication. What do you do with those first 2 hours of your day? Okay, here's the next question. How does my relationship with God affect my daily life? How does your relationship with God affect your daily life? Give me an example. How does your life look different on a daily basis because of God's relationship with you and your relationship with Him? Something's missing, okay. What else? You listen and obey, okay. I look for spiritual conversations, uh-huh. What about whether you understand if something is important or not important? How you define what's important or not important in a given day? Well, there's more to that. How you schedule your priorities, right? What about the issue of whether or not you have any sense of peace or rest in your life? Do you have any sense of peace or rest in your life? Or do you always feel hurried? Here's another question. How often do I engage God's word each week? Is it one time a week? Two times a week? Three? Five? Is it every day? Right? Once you do that, do you obey God's word? And what does that obedience look like? What does it look like? It's following his heart, right? So I'm talking to you about meeting with him, talking to him, engaging his word. What about worship? When you were here today, did you enter in deeply during the worship time? Or did you just sort of glance at my phone, got up, went to the bathroom, there's different things you can just distract yourself with. If worship was an ocean, do you go in ankle deep, like with your toe? Do you go in up to your knees, up to your waist, up to your chest? Or do you go head first? These are measurements that you can use for yourself about where I go with my worship. And do you meet with the Lord to worship him privately at home? Now, you might be asking, why is Fernando asking all these questions? Well, let me put it in a perspective that's different than that. What would happen if you connected with your best friend only when other people are around? It was never one-on-one. He said, okay, you're my best friend, but I'm only going to talk to you if everybody else is here. What kind of message does that send your best friend? You're not sincere? What else? Not important? What else? They're not priority? Okay? And that really takes effect if your best friend happens to be an introvert. When even just one other person shows up, that introvert person's going to think, I'm not your best friend because you invited somebody else to be part of that conversation. I'm not really important. I'm not of value if that happens. Right? Okay, let's take it to another level. What if I did the same thing with my spouse? The only time I talk to my spouse is when everyone else is around. Would that help me maintain a good relationship? No, it wouldn't. Okay. What if I, even outside of the idea of inviting everyone else along, what happens if I only converse with my spouse once a week? What will that do? What do you think, Eric? Not good. Why is that not good? Once a week? Come on. Is it possible to even forget what your spouse's voice sounds like if it's been a month? It could be, right? So, if this is true with your spouse, if this is true with your best friend, what's going to happen between you and God? Are you going to be able to recognize his voice? Probably not. Okay. So everything I've said so far is talking about connecting with God and how to increase my level of connecting with him. But if I'm going to function properly with God or in a community like this group right here, I need to understand some things about myself. And when I gain that understanding, I need to use that understanding so I can connect to other people. Right? If I want to connect to you, you're going to connect to me. So here's a question. Am I intimately acquainted with how God made me? Because God is. God says in his word here, David said, you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. But am I acquainted with all my ways? Have I examined how I am? How I operate? How I think? How I function? How I see things? And the other question is, have I experienced how fearfully and wonderfully God made me? Do you believe, are you convinced, are you persuaded that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Have you experienced that? David said that his soul knows it very well. Does your soul know it very well that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you appreciate the uniqueness of who you are as a person? Because God does, but do we do? Do we do that? We need to do that because otherwise, what happens if I don't appreciate or value myself? What am I going to do? I'm going to compare myself to the person next to me or to the person I admire. I'm saying, I wish I was more like so-and-so. I wish I could sing like so-and-so. Kevin asks that question all the time. Right? Someone say, hey, I wish I had more hair like so-and-so. right? Right? Okay. So, these are the kind of things you need to be pursuing. So, in order to avoid the distraction of comparison, you need to find out who God says you are and love and accept who you are. So how well do you know yourself? Because when you know yourself, then you know how well I can serve you. Right, Austin? If I know my strengths, I can add my strength to you to add value. If I know my strengths, I can build you up. So, but I wanted to ask a few questions. What is my role here? Have you asked yourself any questions about what is your role here at LifeSpring? Right? We need to ask ourselves that question. What's my role? How do I fit? What are my gifts? What if you don't know your gifts? Will you get frustrated? I know I can get frustrated. So before I get to that point here. So if you want to take steps in connecting with God and connecting with others, two things I would suggest you do. One is you look at what are my giftings and how can I use them to add value to other people? And the other thing is, how can I participate in expressing the gift that I have? Now, there is this book that we have called Discovering God's Gifts, your God-given gifts. Now, this book deals with three things. It talks about the characteristics, it deals with the weaknesses of each gift, and the biblical examples. What I really like about the fact that it says this, God purposely limited and focused our giftedness so that we must work together and remain dependent on each other in order to grasp the whole truth. And it tells about the seven different gifts and how what they look like. And I'm not going to read that today. But this is an idea where you understand that each gift that you have is a type of lens. And my prescription is going to be different from your prescription. So you need that. And the other thing that I would say to you today is, in what way can you try to experiment becoming a team member of one of these ministries? Is it the greeting team? Is it the sound team? The media team? The worship team? The prayer team? Children's church team? Now, these are all inside the church, but there are things to do outside the church. What does it mean to meet someone one-on-one in a mentoring relationship? And it could be peer mentoring, but it could also be, you know, top down, bottom up, as far as mentoring. Or it could be in a small group. Or it could be learning to use your gift whenever you encounter somebody you've met for the first time. So my challenge to you is, you need to discover, and if you don't know what those are, please talk to me. Please talk to the elders and say, hey, I want to find a way. Now, you don't have to read this whole book to figure out what your gifting is. There's an assessment test that's a few pages long that you take and you can figure that out. Then you walk it out with somebody. But the other thing is, you won't know what fits for you until you try. We need people in all those areas, but I also want you to be able to function in your gift outside the church. So, hands up, how many of you know exactly which of the seven gifts is yours? Okay, it's only a few people. That prevents you from moving forward. So something needs to be done about that. Where you need to approach this. Because you see, the elders and I, we wear multiple hats. And on a given Sunday morning, we could be doing multiple things. We could be doing worship team. We could be greeting. We could be doing children's church. We could be doing worship team and leading pre-service prayer. Huh? or repairing things on a Sunday morning. So it would be a lot easier if the rest of you would learn to function in your giftings. It would help us. It would help each other. It would help you learn and discover a new joy in a particular area. So how many of you would like to learn to explore that, learning what your gifting is? Okay. I got a few hands up. All right. I would encourage you to have a conversation with one of the elders about this so that we could get you moving forward. Because don't you want to experience joy? Or do you want to stay frustrated? That's a simple answer, right? Yeah. All right. Well, let's close out in prayer. Father, we thank you today that you want to make every person here healthy. That you, O Lord, want to help us move in the area of being connected with you in a deeper way, and you want to connect us to one another. And Father, we just want to be a people who can say with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength, that we love God and we love others. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.